Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Welcome to the Aussie Rugby Show in podcast form. If you're new to the setup, you can stay on top of and be a part of what's happening with the show simply by following Rugby Pass and the Aussie Rugby Show on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. And bit of a language warning in this week's episode. Enjoy.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Aussie Rugby Show. Great to have you watching on or listening in. We are a podcast now, of course. I'm Louise Ransom, joined as always by Sean Maloney, Stephen Hoyles, Drew Mitchell. Guys, great to see you. We're at Colleagues in Woollahra this week. Sean,
home
tell me about it.
Of the mighty Blue Giants. And are they going along well in 2020? Big win at the weekend against Petersham.
Drew's club, second favourite club.
And this week,
double down.
This week, guys, Colleagues take on Waverley in the Battle of the East, the big derby game.
That is a very good
running
derby.
Running around in the Cantwell Cup. Great club. And I like that we're drinking from the pewters, non-collected of Judd Cup winners. I'm Nick Jacobs, sponsored tonight. Here's to you, Nick.
Laurie Campbell, thank you for
say,
a great season.
They're a blue jersey, but they're certainly not a blue collar type of team. Very white collar down here in Colleagues.
Sure.
They're coming up against the blue collar team in Waverley.
Yeah.
I reckon this is the type of club, good club, successful club, but if you were a tradie, you wouldn't tell your teammates, you'd get change in the car park out of your tradies into your MJ Bale, and you turn up here and you tell people you're in finance. That's the type of club Colleagues is.
Great
club.
I like it.
Great
club.
Yeah, we love being here.
We're very pleased to be here. We're back from the snow this week, guys. We had a great week last week. How'd you pull up?
Yeah, very good. I'm a seasoned skiman, Lou, so yeah, I'm very comfortable in all terrain.
Jeez, it's a long way down.
Yeah.
Especially after a day on the ice, not snow, on the rock hard ice.
It hasn't been a great season.
Just let's maybe, yeah. Anyway, I got through the skiing okay. And then this idiot took me to a classic Wallaby coaching clinic with the kids, which was great, the Jindabyne Bush Pigs. But I ended up trying to run this line against the under 16s, went off the left, and my knee's gone.
And it proved right. Don't ever give back, Drew.
Yeah,
the second
exactly,
you start
yeah.
giving back to the kiddies.
Yeah, the moment I start giving back to grassroots, I blow my knee out.
Hit this unders line, tried to tell a 16-year-old where to be, what to do, and bang, he skied for 2 days straight, fine. His meniscus is gone.
Yeah, I'll see a surgeon next week. So thanks to the Bush Pigs, I'll be sending the bill. And actually, maybe the classic Wallabies, I hope you got insurance.
Jeez. Last more was that,
And you're the new knee boy.
I'm the new knee boy,
You've got two knee boys. Yeah. You're knee boy number two.
Lost a bit of hair on the way as well.
I've had my little COVID little moment a little bit too late, and I've realised that you just don't shave your head when you don't have any colour. Like, I need a bit of tan. I look ill.
Yeah, I want to say.
You don't look like the best version of you.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, well, thanks. I hope in a couple of weeks I'll
previously,
I'll
like
be back.
Casper the Ghost, didn't you?
Yeah.
Just, ooh.
So it's fine anyway. You in the phone box.
Guys, what got you from over the weekend? Sean, kick us off.
Do you know what got me?
What, Sean?
On that 48-hour round trip to the snow from Sydney's Northern Beaches, Urban Dictionary.
Oh,
what
yeah.
a find.
What was your favourite one?
Oh, there's a couple in there. I'm addicted
you got me
to
on
it.
That. Yeah.
I'm addicted
what was it?
To it.
The rusty trumpet.
There was a pirate. There was some kind of an eating situation. There was a lot going on that front.
Kids, don't search for that. Yeah. Parents, you're allowed.
What really got me though at the weekend was the coverage out of NZ Sky New Zealand. Sir JK, one of my absolute favourites. You won't find a better guy. One of the great players for the All Blacks. His dress sense has gone to a previously unseen level on air, and I applaud the Sky bosses for encouraging him. And I reckon we get to nominate what he wears on camera for the North v South game.
Ooh. You think he'd actually listen to us
nominating
what he could wear?
would.
He's got fashion sense, I'll give him that. And, yeah. and you know what? I'm glad that he's doing it because he's not just turning up to wardrobe and saying, what am I going to wear tonight? Like you, Sean, you're dressing yourself, you're forgetting shoes every week.
I tried that at Fox. They said, I'm not wearing that. They said,
and look what happened.
You know what? You're not wearing anything. You're good.
What got you?
What got me? I watched the John Dent Cup game, the young Brumbies Academy prop, yep. Fred Cahir, his name is. Yep. Try assist of a lifetime for a front rower. He runs 40 and then puts it on the toe that goes another 30. I just thought it was a fantastic props try. So that's what got me, Sean.
Yeah, I'm going a little bit global. Our friends up in the Northern Hemisphere, the English Premiership was back. We saw them getting back into it. No crowds, of course, but they were getting into the action. But also, more specifically, a try by Exeter Chiefs hooker Luke Cowan-Dickey. He must have worked so hard driving over. But as his teammates were helping him up, as he was sort of about to celebrate this try, he is just absolutely regurgitated everything that was inside his stomach and just spewed all over I think it was over his teammates' back when he was getting up. But, I mean, there's some footage there of it. I mean, it's fantastic.
You've been there.
I've been there. I can empathise. My first game against the All Blacks was my first start, scored a try. I was a bit nervous going into the game. Tarn had kind of called me out in the press saying we're going to target this young bloke, fullback.
It would make most
and I scored this
nervous.
Try and I went back to halfway and I just... And I've got this really nice picture. You know, you can see the 15 on my back, hunched over having a spew. So, Luke, I'm with you, bro.
I've got you, Luke.
Yeah, thanks, Drew. Shoot Shield over the weekend. Loved an epic game between Sydney Uni and Souths Uni. Looked dominant for most of it. Souths just getting it done, kind of 5 minutes worth of stoppage time. The guys on the sideline from Souths cheering the boys on as they sort of rolled over the try line. So it was nice, best game of the year, game. I think,
easy.
For Shoot Shield.
Yeah.
It was so
five
good.
Minutes in injury.
And everyone loves to beat Uni.
Yes.
And
on
at Uni. Or yeah. Especially at Uni.
That's what I say,
at Uni.
Yeah.
Okay, guys, Super Rugby, rocks and diamonds. What you liked, what you didn't like from the weekend?
I'm going to go with Team O's. Rocks and diamonds for Team O's. I thought in the first game on the Friday night, the Tars versus the Force, some Team O decisions that I found difficult to digest. The Jake Gordon disallowed try really frustrated me. Firstly, I don't think he did anything wrong. Two, it was potentially one of the tries of the year. That got me a little bit annoyed. But then the flip side, the following night, the speed of the Team O between the Rebels and Reds game and the accuracy, I thought that's exactly what we want. Get in, get out as quick as you can. At the same time, you've got to get it right. But
yeah, of course. I think
it was good.
Yeah, like you say, it's a consistency of it. But also, sometimes I just feel like the Team O's try to find a reason why it's not a try,
yes.
As opposed to just going, look, you know what? Like, Andrew Reddy in that case, in the
Waratah
one, he was
wasn't
never
making that
there.
Tackle.
Like, even though he was maybe obstructed,
yeah,
I get
yeah.
that, but he was never getting
yeah.
there.
Yeah,
like,
and that was,
some
that
sort
was
of
two tries to the Tars where I looked at and I thought, again, they were good tries to watch, and that's what we want to be on highlights reels. We want to see those type of tries.
Tell you what else was good to watch, goes into my diamonds, was Jack Maddox's performance on the weekend. I thought he was, you know, he was in everything. He was setting up tries, he was scoring tries. He just looked really comfortable. I thought it was by far his best game in the Sky Blue jersey, but also at fullback. But I think even further than that, I think the stocks of the back three, I think we're starting to get a really good position. Young Ram as well on the other side, on the right edge for the Waratahs. And then you looked at Dungunu and you've got Banks and you've
Jock
got
Campbell
Carter.
Jock Campbell was outstanding for the Reds.
Yeah, it's just like everyone's literally standing up. And yeah, even there's a couple, is it Ryan Ralston from the Western Force?
Yep.
He's going strong. So there's people putting their hands up. And it's what I like about it, it's going to make it difficult for David Rennie. And that's what you want in every position. You want to make the selectors' jobs difficult when come, you know, the Wallaby selection time. And I think at the moment, these younger guys are coming through, but also the seasoned guys like your Dane Helipetis of the world, they're also stepping up as well. So I like the fact that there's pressure on these, like, you know, from these young guys coming through on the incumbents, but Mirika Korobedi as well. I mean, there's just so many there.
I reckon Ram of those guys has exploded this year.
Yeah.
So, seen him come through that Aussie 20 setup, but his touches, he's always asking questions, and he's effortless the way he moves through traffic as well.
Nice
hands.
Nice balance.
I saw somewhere, it might have been online, someone made a comparison. It's a huge comparison, but it was Joe Roth, but it's
but
Joe Roth made things look very easy.
100%.
And that's what Ram's got to be. I'm not saying he's anywhere near that yet. No pressure on the kid. But
similar frame.
Yeah. He's tall. He's leapy. He's got... Yep. Yeah, but he makes things look effortless. And
yeah,
that's
no, I'm
a
with
nice
you on
thing
Drew.
To watch.
I'm with you on that, Drew.
And
that's some really
what
good ones.
My rock was is... I said it last week. I'm looking forward to Razors dancing. Scott Robertson with the coach of the Crusaders. After they won the New Zealand Super Rugby... And then the game was cancelled and we didn't get to see him dance.
You think he'll just upload a clip for us for next week, maybe?
I think he should. Perhaps he can go into JK's wardrobe.
That'd be
just spin around, get a bit of a circle going.
We're asking a lot.
Another reason to chin COVID, wasn't it? Costing us a nice Crusaders.
Yeah, that would have been
Blues.
And also, yeah, that game would have been.
Yeah,
so
it would have been a ripper.
That was a sellout, wasn't it?
Yeah. It was a sellout.
I mean, you'd cop an extra 15 cases or so just for that game. I reckon I would. I'd put my hand
would
up
you?
And cop it.
Return
yeah.
travel style.
Yeah.
Don't know about that.
What got you, Sean? Rocks and Diamonds.
No, we're on the Rocks and Diamonds now. Diamonds for me was just the three giants going at it on the weekend. Pone, Thor, and then Caboose Elof in the pink. Budgies.
Yeah,
so,
I like that.
So he blows the stubbies out.
They were very tight.
Oh, they're very tight. And he's very tight. And he's just this big rampaging South African prop has come over, going well there. And then he got a carry on the after getting the short shorts.
Oh,
on.
That was a good carry.
That was a super tight.
The 22 the goal line dropout.
And he's just wound up big style, but like his legs were a little restricted. That was my diamond. Rock was that game between the Force and the Tars. That was one of the biggest bludgeoning games I've seen in a while. And if that went into a time capsule, I would set fire to it in a second.
See, I can always sense when I think... I've always sensed when Maloney likes a lot of points scored in a game because he might have had an exotic bet that weekend. Disallowed tries you've gone overs.
No betting.
Doesn't make this man happy.
No betting. I just thought, I was like, oh, come on, guys. Like, I appreciate that... The Force been away from home for a while, but there were so many chances in that game for there to be plenty more points.
Just quickly on your diamond, I think one of the real good things that have come out of the law variations and adaptations that we're trialling in this Aussie Super Rugby is the goal line dropout. Yep. We've seen so many, especially from the Rebels, putting their big guys right at the back and just letting them come off the long run up, just come in. We've seen, it's created some real highlights in this Super Rugby.
Yeah, I agree. Your highlights?
I'm all positive this week. My diamond, Jordan Pataia, back for the Reds after a really, awfully emotional sort of week beforehand, scoring for the Reds and doing it quite nicely. So great to see him back.
Geez, he's classy, isn't he?
Yeah.
You didn't mention him in that. He played on the wing. He's probably a centre,
he's only played, a couple of games. Yep. And he's going to be another one that's going to be... I mean, he's
Did
definitely going to be there.
Jock Campbell before?
Yeah, I mentioned him before.
Oh,
he was great.
So I'm going to call him Shock Campbell from now on.
Okay, well, you do that.
That's what he does.
Yeah.
Shocks you.
Yeah,
he's good.
Yeah, there's so much depth there. But, yeah, it's great to see Geordie back. And we just hope that he's, put some good games together because he's someone that, like you say, he's just got class... in every facet of the game, and we want to see him in that gold jersey a bit later in the year if we get to see some of those games.
Well, the big stories of the week, the Rugby Championship looks in some doubt because of the situation with COVID in New Zealand that has happened in the last sort of week or so. It's just ruining everything, isn't it? But now I guess the options being thrown up. Let's talk about a couple of those. First up, a 5-test Bledisloe series, which Drew, you kind of suggested a few weeks back.
Yeah, that was when they were talking about potentially playing a 4-game series for Bledisloe, and I just thought, like, that's moronic in my opinion. Like, why would you have four? I think any of those types of series, if in the off chance it's going to be 2-2, like, you need an outcome. It's either 3 or a 5-game series. So I like that as an option. It is a 5-game series. Of course, we'd prefer a rugby championship with South Africa and Argentina involved, along with Australia and New Zealand. But as we've found out through COVID and the year of 2020, you don't always get best case scenario. So we just got to live with it. But Steve, It's bigger than that. Australia rugby really needs to host a couple of these test matches, don't they?
Yeah, even though we'd like to see South Africa and Argentina in 5 games against New Zealand is financially probably the best outcome for Australian rugby anyway. And where those games are played, if they're all played overseas in New Zealand, well, there's got to be probably a bigger split that's got to go to Rugby Australia. But rugby in Australia needs those games to go ahead. We need a series against New Zealand. We need as many games possible just to keep our head above water. That is so important financially. And where they play them, there's so many different suggestions at the moment. It's almost irrelevant, in my opinion, where they're played. They've just got to be played.
The other thing that makes me think that we're getting closer and closer to it not happening is South Africa aren't playing rugby.
Yeah.
So are they guys who in the Northern Hemisphere have just resumed, like you mentioned at the top of the show. No one's playing any footy. And when you see what New Zealand have put down, and now even some of the Australian performances, there is such a disadvantage trying to match it with. I mean, they'll be coming in rusty, lack of it'd be a disaster.
Yeah, so you're probably then hinting that maybe you're happy with the five games against Australia.
I think that's the go.
There's talk of a hub being in Queenstown. That's probably high risk more than anything.
Yeah.
You're sending any rugby side to Queenstown for 5 weeks.
I'm doing my best to come back if that's the case.
You're going to have to get that surgeon pretty quick.
I'll be anything.
I'll happily cop a $3,000 quarantine bill going over there for a chance to be around that.
Good ski fields there, Sean. We should get there.
Delicious.
Well, let's talk some England rugby with a bit of an Aussie twist. And former England captain Dylan Hartley this week said that his time under Eddie Jones was brutal, but also that it was one of the best coaches he's ever had. Sean, can you give us a little bit of context?
Well, it was his departure, essentially, from the England squad around the World Cup. And Eddie just rang and said, can you get that knee, boy? He just said that to him on the phone as a lead-off.
What did he say, Drew?
He basically said, Dylan, it's Eddie, mate. Yeah, you're fucked, mate.
There you go.
Basically just... I mean, but that's what you get with Eddie, right? Like, anyone that's
exactly
been coached by him,
stood,
like, you got brutal honesty. And one thing as rugby players, we always ask for, because so many times you get told some rubbish story like, oh, it's a rotation policy or it's this or it's not that. We're just going to give someone else a go. We're going to give you a rest or all that rubbish. So what you always ask for is brutal honesty. And one thing you got from Eddie was brutal honesty. And sometimes it made you uncomfortable. Sometimes it made you embarrassed. Sometimes it made you upset. But the one thing you knew exactly where you stood. And I think that's why a lot of people that have been coached by him, whilst it was brutal, like, they would also say that he's one of, if not the best coach you've had. And I think that's probably a big reason why.
We only had him for a short period of our career. Like, 2004 and 2005 was, we were on our first Wallaby tour together. So, doesn't matter who your coach is. When you first pick, you're in awe of everyone. But he just ran a very tight ship. But at the same time, like, he still had the ability that when you were walking out of the sheds, you wanted to play for him. I always think that's one of the greatest attributes a coach can have, is you don't want to let that person down. Like, throughout the week, he was brutal on you and he made a lot of people nervous and he put a lot of people under the lamp, but he made you want to play for him in many people's positions.
When can we have the night?
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
On this show where we recap the press conference from 2016, when can we deep dive it? When we can have Lou step you through when it all fell apart in that press conference?
I think it needs a full episode on its own, Sean. Why don't you start with the words that you gave me before we went in?
I think Moist was in there somewhere.
Yeah, that was one of the good ones.
Moist.
Yeah, that was a...
Slippery might have been in there.
We'll
do that at some point.
I remember one story. Dave Fitter, the Wallaby prop at the time, he was already played a couple of tests. It was the next season. He was travelling through the domestic airport with the Brumbies and Eddie happened to be at the same airport and Dave Fitter had just stopped off to get himself a donut.
Krispy Kreme's
at the
sponsorship
airport.
Sponsorship opportunity.
And they reckon he got it like out of the bag and just his fits. And he just went, threw him straight in the bin. Just like, fuck that. He knew straight away who it was and what he was in trouble for and he didn't have a bite. He threw the donut straight in the bin.
I bet he still licked his fingers though.
He would have gone back for more.
Yeah, for sure.
Guys, big game in New Zealand coming up, North v South. Weak teams, yeah?
Well, do you know the background of it, Sean? Like, when was the last time this game was played?
Well, I tell you what, it's to replace...
You're the Keith Quinn of Australian rugby, so you should be talking us through this here.
I've got the right footwear on. It's basically replacing the possible probables game that they've had. And I was there in 2005 playing in NZ at the time in Hawke's Bay when they had Sivivatu, all those guys, like full strength, possibles, probables, and it was insane how good the game was there in Hawke's Bay. So now we've got North v South, and those two teams, my God, they would take on most international teams and probably go close, very close.
I mean, both teams... They've got tremendous depth. They've got a good blend of youth, but also experienced players. I mean, it's frightening just how many people they could sort of pick, and you know, effectively they could pick two sides that would go really well internationally. But I mean, it's what people want. It's also giving rugby supporters extra games to watch, something else to get excited about. And I know that over here in Australia, we've been talking about the potential for a State of Origin, which I think is rubbish.
Yeah, I don't like the state of origin concept.
I think the state of origin is so good in the other code in Australia because they play domestically at a club level, then they go and play for their state. We're already playing at a state level.
Yes.
You're asking someone, for example, I know that he endorsed it, Carmichael Hunt, but he's in a Waratah leadership group 1 week talking about playing with pride and passion for the Waratahs, and the next week would most likely be in the leadership group for the Queenslanders wanting to go again. Like, it just doesn't make sense to me. And I also think it's really... It's almost everything that's wrong about Rugby Australia in the last sort of 10, 15 years, thinking that the game just revolves around New South Wales and Queensland. And I think something... Like, I know there's someone on Twitter, they tweeted us in, threw out a suggestion for city versus country.
Yeah.
Because everyone in Australia is either, you know, grew up in a city area or a country area, and that means everyone... In our land can be picked for one of those two teams. I know there was another option.
Yeah, Rugby Reg. Fred Roberts is a wonderful contributor to commentary around rugby in Australia. Came up with the idea of just drawing a line, boom, straight across the continent of Australia.
Straight across the tweed, maybe Perth.
Do you reckon a bit, was it a bit lower?
Yeah, it was down low.
Somewhere around there, though.
Somewhere in New South Wales.
Kingscliff, maybe?
Yeah, pretty close to
Tweed. Over to Kalgoorlie. Yeah, there you go. North and south.
Yeah.
And have the same concept. And you get yourself a nice little game there, too, if you put a line through the middle.
Yeah, I'm in a similar opinion to Drew. The state of origin, I don't think that concept worked because that's what we have with Super Rugby. Yeah. And we now have it three times this year. And in normal years, we have it twice. I think, what about the people in Perth? What about the people in Canberra, Melbourne? It's
Tassie.
Tassie. Don't forget the Tassie. Yeah. So my only concern with the New Zealand option is it just opens up a can of worms for another 1,000 people, now 1,000 All Black trialists. Do you ever remember when you were at a school or a club and someone turned up and they're an All Black trialist? That's always, people would always come over from New Zealand.
You've got that tag now.
And they were just All Black trialists. Every Kiwi person that ever came over to club were All Black trialists. You couldn't prove them wrong, but with today's social media, I think you can prove them wrong. So I'm okay with the North versus South happening. And, you know, maybe it's going to be really good for New Zealand rugby over the next 10 years.
Gone but not forgotten, a time where we remember some of our favourite rugby players for their efforts both on and off the field. This week, we're going to talk about Radiki Samo.
Yeah, we are. I love DK.
Big DK.
And my story isn't even him in Wallabies colours. I was playing against him. He was playing for the Canberra Vikings down at Viking Park, playing for Manly. Josh Manray, the great Bongo, is playing with Manly. Bongo. Comes across in cover to try and get DK. DK's charging up the park. He has the biggest hands you've ever seen, holding the ball in one hand. Bongo goes for him. He breaks Bongo's nose with the ball, slams it into his face full of Gilbert, broken nose for the Bongo man. DK runs off and scores. The most incredible thing
probably
you've ever
seen.
Probably
with a smile on his face. That's what I found so
I think he was laughing.
He was often running at you and somehow making you scared, yet still smiling at you. Like, he just toyed with you.
He was so good.
I mean, he was so versatile. Obviously, he's a huge human being, playing in the back row for a lot of his career in the Wallaby colours, but... I mean, we all remember that try against the All Blacks up at Suncorp. But also, I remember in 2011, the World Cup in New Zealand, we were decimated with injury in the back line. And DK started the game in number 14 jersey, played on the wing, and played super well. Like, he just didn't look out of place, other than the fact that he was 4 foot tall and then his opposing winger, the little Russian man, was just, like, trying to jump up on these crossfield kicks. But, I mean, he was so versatile because, I mean, one, he was super quick, but he just had skill. He had the offload, like you say. I mean, he's a great man.
You talk to so many Fijian players on the Seven Circuit and you say, oh, what position are you? And then it's just complete honesty. They go, back row or wing.
You're
like, sorry? Back row or wing. Hang on. So you're that big, but you can be that fast. No drama. And he was one of many back row wingers from Fijian rugby.
Gone but not forgotten, DK.
Aussie Rugby Show, mailbag time. Thanks so much for sending all your questions in. Plenty this week. Very full, this mailbag.
It's jam-packed. I'll keep going. I'm going to get to the first question. It is full. It's jam-packed. We're going to go deep here with these. Okay, so our first one comes from Kangaroo Haha. Controversial opinion, says Kanga. I don't think the Kiwi sides, other than the Crusaders, would manage to make the top three in Super Rugby Aussie at this particular point
in time.
That's
a flog tweet.
I would back the Brahms, Rebels, Reds, and even the Tars about the other four New Zealanders. Do we buy into that?
No, I don't buy into that.
But he's a good supporter of the show.
So yeah, Kangaroo Haha.
I think a lot of people, and you know what? It's good that people are talking positively about Australian rugby and the game's been good, but I think at some stage we've got to put the Kool-Aid down and drink the water and realise that, you know, New Zealand.
I'm not putting it down, mate.
I just think that's very optimistic of Kanga.
But good on him for having a go.
That's probably going to be the last 30 cents. Actually, I've gone out and reached out to a couple of friends, a couple of players, and some that are playing in the current Australian rugby, Super Rugby setup, but also one here from Willie Genya.
Hey guys, Willie G here. Love what you guys are doing on the show. Absolutely killing it. Just wanted to ask a question. Who do you think trains harder out of forwards and backs? Hoping for an impartial view because obviously I'm a player, I'm a back, probably a little bit biased, but yeah, obviously forwards do a lot more contact when it comes to training, like the scrums, the mauls and unit sessions, and the backs do a whole lot more high-speed running, so different levels of toughness, I guess, but really wanted to get you guys' opinion on who do you think trains harder?
It is a good question.
Yeah. Well, you'd expect that from a bloke who's Will Genia, I guess.
What do you think, Drew?
Look, in terms of probably harder, depends on what you rate as harder. I think longer, forwards are always out there much longer than what we were. They're always doing the driving
scrums and line-outs
and all that rubbish and then still wouldn't hit one on the weekend. I don't know what they were doing in those sessions. We just sort of get in, get our stuff done, get off.
Yeah.
We drop the balls at training, we drop it on the game, like we're consistent. But I think, you know, high-speed running meters, that's where we're probably under the most duress. That's on what we did most at training, whereas, you know, the piggies, as they are affectionately known, they, you know, they don't really hit too many high-speed meters, but what they do is a lot more contact work and probably a bit more under duress in terms of, you know, like muscle fatigue and that type of thing. What do you reckon?
Yeah, I always, like, being completely honest, I always admired the fitness of a halfback when on the field when you realise that they basically have to get to every ruck. I found that just at certain times when you'd see players running past you, then they're just everywhere. Like, you really took note of how fit a halfback was. But at the same time, you'd always note on a Wednesday, a day off, you'd come in for some treatment, and some front rowers in particular, they just couldn't walk properly, you know, like what they put themselves through. So I'll probably lean towards a split between a halfback from sheer running volume and just the front props have to lift heavy weights every week, whether it's part of their psychology to be right for a scrum, but they put themselves in some dark places.
If you've got front rowers that are worried about their jerseys coming up because it might show their Mayday guts, then they're not training hard.
Exactly.
They're not training hard. I'm going to say backs. Willie G, the backs, brother.
Oh, man.
What are you going to say?
I had a great story.
Yeah, do it.
Jeff Parling, who coached with Will at the Rebels, said that when he first joined Leicester, known for their hard-nosed approach, in you go, 50 scrums live off the bat. So two opposing packs. This is training, 50 live.
Yeah.
First session of the year.
Yeah.
In you go, get stuck in. Whoever's still standing can play on the weekend.
Well, that was Leicester. That was why they won the title. Yeah. They just scrummed and punched.
So I reckon forwards, of course. I've got one for you, Drew. It's from a former Queensland Reds scrum half and Big Brother contestant season one, Damien
Hooey. He's got great charisma.
He's got a few things going for him, does the Hooey.
Yeah.
Here it is, all the way from Singapore.
Yeah, Drew, you came into the Reds squad in 2004 as a young pup. Must have had a surprisingly lot of downtime after training those years. I know you and Josh Valentine were particularly close. I mean, what would you say were some of the wildest things you boys got up to when you weren't training?
You and Valo.
Yeah, look, we got up to some wild things. We used to live in a place in Kangaroo Point. You know, both of us sort of young fellas, strapping young lads, just living, doing our best to make ends meet. And look, I don't think there's
much that we can. But hang on, you're getting paid to make ends meet, so you're already making ends meet.
No, but I mean just feeding ourselves and having a nice night to sleep and whatever. I think Hui's trying to get me to say some Big Brother After Dark stories, if you like. But I feel like, you know, Josh is married, he's got two beautiful kids, and I'm not any of those things, but I still feel I shouldn't say any of those stories.
Lou? Good work, snitch boy. Okay, what are your thoughts?
Throwing some shade.
What are your thoughts on bringing back the collar on the jersey? This is from Hugh on Twitter. One of the MLR teams has a collar, looks very smart, but I want to know, what's your favourite Wallabies jersey?
Oh,
mine was the Reebok one.
In 98. My favourite one would probably be the 91 World Cup. That was sort of the age where I was like, it was a really
good... With the Adidas stripes?
No, that was 84, sort of, just the plain gold.
Plain gold with the green cups, maybe?
But it was a different gold. I just thought it was a striking gold. That's my favourite one, like the Campo Nick Faye Jones World Cup 91. That's my favourite one.
The three striper. For me, like that one was epic. Yeah.
My favourite would be any of the ones I've played in.
Wanker.
Accurate.
Speaking of wankers. Speaking of wankers, this is a question from Shane Scott. Just says, how are you, Louise? I'm going to answer it for you. That's inappropriate, Shane. How Louise is has got nothing to do with you. And if you are the person sending in pictures, that has to stop as well, mate. So that is not on, Shane.
I've got another one. It's another video message.
How long does this segment go for now?
It's a long one. Because it's so good.
Yeah. Yeah.
This one's from inside the hub, the Western Force hub. Our good friend of the show, John O'Lance.
John C. Reilly.
Oh, stop.
Oh, sorry. It's been pretty tough here in the hub. Just a hello to everyone at the Rugby Show podcast.
He doesn't even know our name.
Just making you guys.
And your passion for rugby. It's definitely one of the best podcasts going for rugby at the moment. Just a question though, I'm just wondering, do we think there is any back rower in Australian rugby at the minute with the same size calves as Stephen Hoyles? I wonder, they're a pretty athletic beast. Cheers, mate.
That's great from Johnny. Obviously, he just thinks we're a podcast and you can't see him in the bathroom.
That's all right, sign up to the podcast.
Do we think
he's
got smaller calves?
He's in a hub tub.
No, he was by far the smallest.
Like Lockie McCaffrey, maybe, but I think he'd have me. Victor Matfield, he's not Australian rugby.
Lockie's socks almost stay up.
Yeah. It's a badge of honour. You know, I got one of my strength and conditioners called me Swan Legs. You know, like that was somehow what he thought would motivate me. He called me Swan Legs. So he'd be yelling at me while I'm in the gym or hiding in the gym. Yeah. Come on, Swan Legs, what are you doing? He was Welsh, by the way. So in short answer, no, Jono. And happy 44th birthday, Jono. You're looking remarkable there in your hot tub time machine.
How good is that video from
sending you? That's the standard.
I'm going to try and get a few more of these from the current players and perhaps some players of the past as well. And Jono's certainly set the bar pretty high there.
And don't forget that you can stay on top of all of the Aussie Rugby Show comings and goings on Instagram and Facebook as well. Louise Ransom, Twitter too.
Yeah, we are everywhere and a podcast as well, so make sure you subscribe to that. Guys, we're done for another week. Thank you so much. Sean Maloney, Stephen Hoyles, Drew Mitchell. Thanks to colleagues
for hosting Blue Giants.
Us in Woollahra. I'm Louise Ransom. We'll see you next time.
That's it. Don't forget to subscribe to stay on top of the show with new episodes dropping each week. And remember, if moving pictures are more your thing, you can catch the show at rugbypass.com or via the Aussie Rugby Show on YouTube. Like, follow, subscribe, tell your friends, your uncle, you know the drill. See you next week.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.